grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord, be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, Heavenly Father, in the waters of the flood, you saved the chosen. And in the wilderness of temptation, you protected your Son from sin. Renew us in the gift of baptism. May your holy angels be with us, that the wicked foe may have no power over us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Reading from Genesis. God said to Noah and his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you and for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. And when the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 25 responsively. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
My God,
let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous. Lead me to your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long.
Remember
not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
You are gracious.
You lead the lowly in justice and teach the lowly your way.
All your vast glory
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning. Where's this one? A second reading, a reading from 1 Peter. Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation in the spirits in prison, who in the former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a consciousness through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels and authorities and powers made subject to him. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord.
I was talking with a young woman the other day, and she told me that she wanted to start reading the Bible, but she really didn't know where to start. And I said, well, don't start with Genesis. You'll get so bogged down by the time you get to Leviticus or Deuteronomy, you'll give it up. Start with the Gospel of Mark. Mark is the shortest gospel, so you think you're really making progress when you're reading this book of 66 books, and you're already finished with one in just one sitting. The Gospel of Mark is the shortest, and it's also the fastest paced. Immediately is Mark's favorite word, always going, always going. And you don't have time to get bored. You don't have time to lose interest in the Gospel of Mark. So if you want a Lenten discipline for yourself, read the Gospel of Mark. See if you can read it in one sitting. It's only a few chapters, and you can get right through that book with the immediacy that Mark places on it. The thing about Mark's Gospel, we heard the first chapter today, part of that first chapter. We didn't hear anything about shepherds and angels and a birth in the stable. We didn't hear anything about wise men coming, and we didn't hear any angels announcing to shepherds or to Mary or to Joseph. We didn't hear any of that. The Christmas story is not in Mark. You need the rest of the Gospels to get that story. But in Mark, you get this wonderful image here, starting right out in the wilderness. John the Baptist by the Jordan River in the wilderness. And then Jesus comes to the wilderness, to that spot in the Jordan River to be baptized by John. And isn't that a wonderful scene? A marvelous experience. Jesus is in the water, comes up out of the water as he's baptized by John, and a spirit, dove, descends from heaven. The clouds are ripped apart. The Spirit descends on Jesus, and we hear a voice, God's voice, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved. I'm well pleased with him." Now that would be a moment to bask in. That would be a moment to just say, wow, okay, this is great. But Mark doesn't let us bask. Mark says immediately Jesus is driven out into the wilderness. I'm from South Dakota, and when I hear the word driven, or driver, I think less about chauffeurs and limousines and more about cowboys and cattle prods. I think that's how Jesus was driven out into the wilderness, with urgency, with immediacy. I don't think he was lounging in the back of a town car. During Lent, we follow Jesus out into the wilderness to wrestle with the demons as he did. I think in some ways, contemporary Christians have an easier time understanding Lent, this season of Lent, than the other church seasons, because we know what it's like to be in the wilderness. We know what it's like to wrestle with temptation, to wrestle and struggle with evil. We know what it's like to be in the wilderness. But the truth is, no matter where we live, wilderness is all around us. Sometimes that's all we can see. Sometimes we find ourselves in the middle of a wilderness desert, sunburned, disoriented, dying of thirst. Sometimes the wilderness is just so familiar. Seems like we've always been in this trouble. We've always been here. Sometimes we're angry with God for leaving us in that wilderness. I think of the exhausted person who is trying so hard to keep together family and children and social obligations and church and school and work, stretched so thin that there's hardly any sense of self left. That person knows wilderness. The isolated teenager who so much wants to fit in, who wants to make good choices that's not being very successful with that, who feels bullied at school, maybe even bullied at home. That person knows wilderness. The homeless person who's on the streets is growing numb with the harshness that surrounds him, who's filled with regret and has no hope. That person knows wilderness. The addicted person who's trying so hard to say no, but is getting pretty tired of the struggle, teetering on the brink of relapse, teetering on the brink of despair. This person knows wilderness. The newly diagnosed, or the chronically ill person who is navigating life through pain, treatment plans, doctor's appointments, who has to learn a whole new language of medicine and disease, a whole new language of asking for help. This person knows wilderness. Living without a spouse, or a child, or a friend that death has taken from us, is a wilderness experience that lasts much longer than one season. So where is your wilderness? And I think wilderness is not so much out there as it is in here, in our hearts. There's something else that's true about wilderness. Something the gospel writer wants to make sure that we hear. Jesus was there first. This is the good news. No wilderness is so barren, so isolated, so diseased that Jesus hasn't walked there first. And his presence in the wilderness reminds us that there is something else true about the wilderness. Despite all of the appearances to the contrary, the wilderness is filled with life and hope. Maybe that's why God so often in scripture stories repeated to us. That's why God uses desert and wilderness as places of transformation. Maybe that's why Jesus, coming up from the waters of baptism, before he starts his a word of ministry, immediately is driven out into the wilderness, a place of transformation. During Lent, it's the time for us to take a focused look at the wilderness, at our own wilderness, where we are spending time with the demons, where we are tempted by evil, where we struggle to get through each day. But because through baptism, our story is linked with God's story, our story becomes Jesus' story, Jesus' story becomes our story. We know the truth about the wilderness, and we know the outcome of the story. Jesus is tempted by the devil, and the angels minister to him. There is Good Friday and the cross. There is Easter Sunday and eternal life. In the midst of the wilderness struggle, the readings in Lent give us images of baptism. The gospel reading opened with Jesus being baptized by John. And if somehow you missed the baptism connection in the Noah story and the triumphant sign of the rainbow as God's eternal promise, the letter of Peter makes it very clear, that second reading that we heard, makes that connection between the flood waters and the baptismal waters. Lent really is all about baptism, as the season points us toward the font, toward Easter. In the waters of baptism, we are joined with Jesus and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Our Lenten journey is just beginning on this first Sunday in Lent, and it starts in the wilderness, and it sends us to the font, where on Easter morning, we will once again renew our baptismal promise, where water will be sprinkled on us as a reminder of God's love, and where we celebrate Jesus' triumph over the power of sin and death, over the power of struggles with evil and temptation. On Easter morning, we will splash the waters of baptism on the infant daughters of Kent and Edna Thigerson as we welcome them into the family of God. What a blessing that will be for not only for them and their family, but for all of us as we, along with the newly baptized, are reminded in this very visible way that we too are an Easter people, that the resurrection is so much stronger, completely overcoming the struggles of our wilderness journey. We are indeed beloved children of God, strong in unity, in full bloom in Christ's victory over sin and death and the grave. As we journey through Lent and through our wilderness, we look towards Easter. Look in your own life, in your own wilderness journey now. Look for signs of life. Look for signs of God's loving action. Look for signs like the rainbow that reminds God to keep God's promise. Look for signs of the cross to remember that the cross is the sign of victory over evil in the world. Evil, temptation, struggles in our own hearts. Eat pretzels and be reminded, and maybe beer too, because, you know, it goes together. Pretzels are that symbol that reminds us that our arms are to be folded in prayer. Pretzels are made without yeast, at least these pretzels are, made without yeast because they're a Lenten food. We're giving up something, so it's a struggle. You have to struggle right through that Lenten season, eating those kinds of things. They're low fat, there you go. Are they low cholesterol? Probably. I don't know, no cholesterol, no saturated fats, no, what can be wrong with this? The covenant promise that God made to Noah has never been broken. God keeps the promise to be gracious to his people, to be gracious to all creation. God keeps the promise to love us, to love the world that he created. During this season of Lent, during this time that we're looking at our own wilderness struggle, we can trust in that promise. We can remember our baptism and trust in God's great faithfulness to that promise. Amen.